This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I want to introduce you to an example of excellence. Our Hope Award winner this year, Albert Pujols.
My job as a believer is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue to do the best that I can to represent Jesus Christ.
We'll stand where the Lord wants us to stand, and He'll provide the people if it's what's supposed to happen. See what the Lord is putting in front of you now.
I was reminded of a passage from the book of Job. There is hope for a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender branch will not cease.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
I can understand completely why there might be, why anyone might have misgivings about building a mosque near Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan. It seems, it's kind of one of those smell test things for me, that at first you just hear the idea and you think, you know, that's probably not a good idea. Regardless of what you think about Islam, regardless of what you think about the connection of American Islam to terrorism, you say, maybe not a good idea to do that. I can understand why people have misgivings. Now, there's another controversial mosque. This one, outside of Nashville, Tennessee, that some are objecting to for similar reasons. And I wonder if you see it as the same kind of a story. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll spend the first half of this hour hearing from you about the construction of a mosque near Nashville, Tennessee. Some say it should not be built. Audio open lines. Then we'll talk to Dr. Joel Heck of Concordia University, Texas, about Joshua. Old Testament Joshua just happens to share a name with our Savior, Jesus, and perhaps even more than just the name. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 1st of September. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page where you can view a little video from CNN on this controversial mosque in Tennessee, and give us your reaction there as well. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. It's audio open lines. I want your answers, your answers to my questions, and your thoughts and your reaction to the story about a controversial mosque in Nashville, Tennessee. There are places in the country where you will not find a sizable enough Muslim population for a mosque to be built. They have to travel to attend mosque or find another way of carrying out their religious observances, the Muslims do. There are places, like in some Michigan, particularly around the Dearborn area, where there are more than one mosque. And then there are places where there are, by reasons of immigration and other sociological factors, enough Muslims to put together a mosque. What if there was a proposed mosque in your town? The one we're going to hear about is near Nashville, Tennessee. There are some objections. But what if the mosque were near where you live? Would you object? And if so, why? If not, why not? 1-877-623-6943. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Or leave your thoughts and comments at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Let's find out more about the construction of a mosque near Nashville, Tennessee from CNN.
With efforts to stop a mosque, we're not talking about the proposed mosque in Islamic Center two blocks from Ground Zero here in New York, but a mosque in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Muslims in the town have asked federal agents to be on site during services after the FBI says it has reason to believe that someone deliberately burned construction vehicles this weekend on the planned site of the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro. The spokeswoman for the mosque says they're scared.
And it's very hard to explain to children what's going on. It's very hard to explain to the little kids, you know, when they ask you, Mommy, are these people for us or against us? It's really taken a toll on the community.
Well, there's been a mosque in Murfreesboro in one form or another for some 30 years, and the spokeswoman says the existing one is simply too small. So this is what they got approval to build, where that suspected arson took place this weekend. That's the plan: a ball field, a playground, a burial ground, parking lots, walking paths, and a mosque. As for the money to build it, organizers say on the center's website that 95% of it is from local donations. As for the opposition, people have defaced and destroyed signs at the mosque. They've railed against it, rallied against it. The message, as you can see there on the sign, says "not welcome." And now what appears to be arson. During a recent 700 Club segment titled "Mega Mosque Nation," Pat Robertson singled out the Murfreesboro Center. He said he's not in favor of cities stopping churches from being built or other restrictions on freedom of religion, but he said this isn't really about religion.
You mark my word, if they start bringing thousands and thousands of Muslims into that relatively rural area, the next thing you know, they're going to be taking over the city council. Then they're going to be having an ordinance that calls for public prayer five times a day. Then they're going to be having ordinances that there'll have to be facilities for foot washing in all the public restrooms and all the airport facilities, et cetera, et cetera. And before long, they're going to demand, and little by little, the citizens of Murfreesboro, whatever little town it is, are going to be cowed.
Mr. Robertson goes on to warn against Muslims' ability to, quote, bribe folks to buy influence.
Now, I want to hear from you that we'll get more of the CNN story on this controversial mosque near Nashville, Tennessee. The argument being made there by Pat Robertson, as whether you take it seriously or not, is kind of a slippery slope argument. The more one allows the Muslim community to gain a foothold in a town, wherever it may be, the more they will demand by way of political ascendancy, and then the more they will demand. In particular, what the Reverend Robertson seems to be warning against is religious accommodation in the public square. Is it a valid argument? Is it one that holds water for you against building a mosque where you live? 1-877-623-6943. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. This Wednesday afternoon, September the 1st, we're listening to a CNN story on a controversial mosque planned to be built near Nashville, Tennessee. 877-623-MYIE. Email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or leave your thoughts on this subject at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
I don't know if anyone's getting a payoff, he adds, but it is entirely possible. The imagery is of strange others infiltrating, invading, then somehow subverting the heartland. Lori Cardoza-Moore, who has spearheaded opposition to the mosque expansion in Murfreesboro, uses similar terms. In that same 700 Club segment, she offers this explanation of why Muslims in Murfreesboro want to expand their mosque. Quote, "You have Bible book publishers, you have Christian book publishers, you have Christian music headquartered here. The radical Islamic extremists have stated that they're still fighting the Crusaders, and they see this as the capital of the Crusaders." Lori Cardoza-Moore on the 700 Club earlier this month. As I said, she's a spokeswoman for Murfreesboro Mosque Opposition. I spoke to her earlier tonight. I want to show our viewers something that you recently said at a demonstration here in New York.
All right. The argument there is that there's a nationwide front of Muslim communities trying to build mosques here, there, where you live, to gain political and religious accommodation. Does that argument hold any water with you? If there was a mosque proposed to be built where you live, how would you react to it? Would you care at all? Would you object, or would you support it? 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Jane is listening in her car. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Todd. I think that part of what Pat Robertson said is true. They are going to demand more. But in America, we do have the freedom of religion. Now, that takes it away. I don't agree with Ground Zero, because they're going to build a monument to a victory there, which is a different thing than this. So I don't know how we can say no to them, and then if they want to build the Baptist church or something down the street.
So just let me make sure, Jane, that you distinguish the Tennessee Mosque from the Ground Zero, so-called Ground
Absolutely.
Zero Mosque, because the one near Ground Zero could well be interpreted as kind of a memorial to a terrorist victory or something.
Right. That would be, you know, the way I see it. Any way we look at it, it's scary.
Jane, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? Would you object to a mosque being built in your town? Muslims are together, in this case, in near Nashville, Tennessee. They've had a mosque there for 30 years. They simply want to build a bigger one, and the community, through various forms, legitimate and illegitimate, have been objecting to the construction of this new mosque. 1-877-623-6943. It's Audio Open Lines this Wednesday afternoon, September the 1st. Chris in Nashville, Tennessee, near where this is taking place, says, living in Nashville, I would guess that the resistance to the building of a mosque has arisen for two reasons. The first is that Arminian theology dominates the area. Southern Baptist Convention and its publishing arm are located here in Nashville. They may believe that the Word of God is inerrant, but they underestimate the power of the Word of God. If they believe that one must make a decision for Jesus as their Savior, then it makes sense to try and oppress free speech of other religions in order to make it easier for one to make that decision for Christ. The second reason for the opposition to the mosque is that there is a blurring of the line between religion and politics here. Evangelicals expect the state to carry the water for the church. The way I see it, if they want to defeat the mosque, they should stop trying to infringe upon the construction rights of the Muslims and go out and preach the gospel. That's Chris in Nashville, Tennessee. What about the rest of you? It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, etc. We're talking about this controversial mosque being built near Nashville, Tennessee. Some say it should be stopped because that, after all, they say, is a bastion of Christian publishing, of Christian music, and the Muslims are trying to gain a foothold there. Others are arguing the slippery slope argument that if a mosque is built there, then there will be political and religious accommodation being demanded by a growing Muslim community. Do any of those arguments fly with you? 1-877-623-MYIE, our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesETC.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 15 more minutes of Audio Open Lines on the controversy surrounding the construction of a mosque outside Nashville, Tennessee. Do you think they should allow the construction of this mosque? Now, some are alleging that there is a kind of a mild some mild terrorist rhetoric or anti-Semitic rhetoric on the part of someone involved in the construction of this mosque. There have been apparently several cases of arson with the construction vehicles around the construction site, and people very vocal about objecting to it. The argument being made by one of the chief spokesmen against the construction of the mosque is that this is an attempt to gain a foothold kind of right there squarely in the middle of the Bible Belt. And I want to know from you, how is this story similar or perhaps different from the building of a mosque near Ground Zero? And what if a Muslim community in your town wanted to build a bigger and better mosque? How would you react? 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC. An email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or visit our Facebook fan page and leave your thoughts and comments there, facebook.com/issuesetc. The phone number again, 1-877-623-6943. Albert in California says, I grew up as a Christian in a Muslim country. While I'm no fan of Islam by any stretch, I do not understand why Christians act like they're afraid of Islam. We have nothing and no one to be afraid of. Having Muslims in our midst, while uncomfortable on some levels, seems to me to be a great opportunity to win some of them to the Lord. Let them come and let us go out and preach the gospel of Christ to our Muslim neighbors. You know, I honestly think it's the first time I've heard that from a listener, and maybe even get any guess that the immigration of Muslims to the West, in particular to the United States, should be viewed as the church as an opportunity to preach Christ to people who do not know him. Smartest listeners in radio. Ben in Texas says, wow, talk about slanted media. Those opposed to the mosque are portrayed as hate and fearmongers, and Islam is painted as these poor, peaceful people who want just to build a little bit bigger mosque. How about Anderson Cooper asking questions about what's in the Quran? We're supposed to take the Islam lady totally at her word without consulting any other sources, he says. Greg in Texas says, simply outlaw Islam in the USA. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. That would be difficult to do, Greg. You'd have to, with the same brush, you could outlaw a lot of other religions, probably including Christianity. Religious freedom is generally viewed as a good thing for all religions, although it does make things very uncomfortable. The good outweighs the discomfort, I think. Back to last night's Anderson Cooper 360 on the construction of a mosque near Nashville, Tennessee.
This mosque in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, what evidence do you have the imam who has condemned Hamas to the Christian Broadcasting Network and Hezbollah, to the vast majority of Muslims who have practiced there for years and years, what evidence do you have that they are recruiting or fomenting terror?
In the past, there hasn't been a problem, but Anderson, with the recent statement by Masad Rawash on his MySpace page, gives rise to huge concern in our community.
Again, which he was removed from the board for and then investigated apparently by the mosque. I don't know the details of that, but what is on somebody's MySpace page and what they, you know, I don't know. We don't know the details of that. Who put it on there? They say he was investigated by the mosque. You say he's still being investigated. That's somebody who's on the board of this thing. What evidence do you have that this mosque is somehow, how many people have they converted to radical Islam and sent overseas to foment terror?
I think there's a lapse in judgment by the leadership to implement a board member or to reinstate a board member who made statements like that to kill Jews. If they're trying to bring peace and this is the religion of peace, that doesn't sound like the religion of peace to me, Anderson. I'm sorry. It's a threat to the community, not just to the Jewish community or the Christian community. It's the Muslim community, too.
So what can Muslims be good citizens?
Of course. There are many Muslims who are good citizens. My concern is not with the good citizens. Mine is those who are pursuing a radical agenda.
But why not pursue those who you say are pursuing a radical agenda and allow them to have a mosque where they can, and allow the vast majority of the population in your town to have a mosque where they can worship?
We don't have a problem with that.
So you don't have a problem with the mosque being built? Right. What I'm saying is, why not allow a mosque to be built and go after specific individuals if you have evidence against them?
Not if they have board members who are tied to radical extremist groups.
So why don't you gather evidence against that board member and allow the mosque itself?
We have gathered evidence, and the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department and Homeland Security and FBI are continuing to conduct the investigation.
1-877-623-MY-IE. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. What do you make of the mosque being built near Nashville, Tennessee? Some are really objecting to it. Or if it were a mosque being built in your town. Chet is listening in East St. Louis. Hi, Chet.
Good evening, Pastor Todd. You pose an interesting question. I personally was opposed to the idea that's going on in New York, building a mosque such close proximity to Ground Zero. I think because of the sentimental aspect of what occurred there and, you know, an assault of such a major magnitude that happened in that place, I think that would give the wrong signal, because those of us who are in the know there are some factions of Islam that are radical and would take anything they can to use that as a motivating factor in their terrorism efforts. But as far as in my personal community, I don't think that, you know, I would be opposed to it, because Islamic people should have the same rights as any other Americans. But then you make me ask myself the question, where do you draw the line at? You know, I mean, it's really a hard thing to decipher, you know, and make a decision on. We don't have the right to totally disregard their views as far as their religious beliefs. So, you know, it's a difficult issue that we have to handle here, so. You know, I still say in New York, though, just considering 9/11 and the magnitude of the deaths that occurred there and how they occurred, I think we should be opposed to them constructing the mosque in that location. Sure.
Chet, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in East St. Louis. Now, see, there's that distinction again. I let me just wonder out loud. Do you think that those who are objecting to the building of the mosque near Ground Zero could gain a little credibility if they were to support the building of mosque elsewhere? Or if they were to say, look, there's no problem with the Nashville, Tennessee mosque, go ahead. What we're talking about is offending the sensibilities of the victims of 9/11 and the country in general when it comes to Lower Manhattan. Cindy in O'Fallon, Missouri, writes this via Facebook. She says, the growth of Islam in our country does concern me. As I understand it, the ultimate goal of Islam is for it to be a worldwide, to the exclusion of any other belief. Since we do have freedom of religion in our country, I think it may be fairly easy for them to infiltrate the U.S., especially with our current idolatry of tolerance. While there may be such a thing as moderate Muslims, I don't think there is such a thing as moderate Islam. Interesting distinction there, Cindy, and thanks for listening in O'Fallon, Missouri. Of course, we have expressed concern about the true nature of Islam on these airwaves many, many times. The question before us this afternoon is, should a Muslim community capable of doing so be allowed to build a mosque over against the objections of the general community, whether their arguments are valid or not? What would you think if Muslims wanted to build a mosque in your town? Chris says, as much as I disagree with Pat Robertson, that is what has happened in Dearborn, Michigan. I mentioned Dearborn, Michigan before. The largest per capita Muslim population of any city in the U.S., if I'm not mistaken. And yes, there has been considerable public religious accommodation made to the Muslim community there because of that. So Pat Robertson argues a slippery slope. One might ask in response, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with making public accommodation to the religious sensibilities of a large population there, be it Dearborn or elsewhere? There's a new way that you can support issues, etc. You probably heard about Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Certainly, if you have visited our website and visited the support page, you've seen the logo for Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. There's a new program called Thrivent Choice, and it helps us keep issues, etc. on the air. You do it by choosing where some of Thrivent's charitable outreach funds go. There are two aspects. There's Thrivent Choice, and there's Choice Dollars and Voting Events. Now, for more information, I know that sounds a little confusing, for more information on how to support Issues, etc. via Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Donate, and look for that Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. Now, you'll have to search for Lutheran Public Radio, because although the show is called Issues Etc., support goes through Lutheran Public Radio that produces the program. So you can help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through Thrivent Choice. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click donate, and there you will find the logo for Thrivent Financial for Lutherans and an answer to all your questions about how to support Issues Etc. through Thrivent Choice dollars. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc. We'll be talking, the second part of this hour of Issues Etc. We'll be talking Joshua with Dr. Joel Heck, professor of theology at Concordia University. Religious freedom is difficult to maintain. It's easy when there's only one or two religions vying for the public attention. When you have powerful voices of more than two or three, many, it becomes all the more difficult to maintain. Does that mean we say, we need to rethink this religious liberty thing in the case of the Muslims or someone else? No. What it means is we need to redouble our efforts at protecting religious liberty, our own and everyone else's. In fact, the harder it becomes to maintain the principle of religious liberty in the United States, the more necessary it is to maintain that principle in practice. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll talk Joshua with Dr. Joel Heck after this. How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most number of friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Why doctors shun abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
When abortion was legalized in 1973, hospitals accounted for 80% of abortion facilities. By 1988, though, the large majority of abortions took place in abortion clinics. Why the change? Hospitals and doctors worked their way out of the abortion business, often preferring to distance themselves from it. Medical journals in the early 1990s reported that many doctors shunned abortion due to the stigma associated with it, and they succeeded. Today, only 2% of abortions are done in a physician's office and a mere 5% in hospitals. Listen next time to hear why some want to change this.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.